Shalom Aleichem. Yesterday in Mishnah Yomi Land, we entered chapter 11 of Zevachim. So we're picking up in chapter 11, Mishnayot 3 and 4 today. Gimel, nitaz minatzavar. If blood spurted out from the neck of the sacrificial animal, ala beged, onto a garment, eino taun kibus, that actually does not need to be washed out, as we learned yesterday, inside the temple. And as we'll see, the reason for this is because this blood coming straight out of the neck of the animal is not fit to be used for blood applications on the Mizbeach. That has to have Kabbalah to be accepted, received in a sacred vessel first before it can be used for Hazah, for sprinkling on the Mizbeach. The Mishnah adds, Minakeren, if blood is coming off of the horn of the Mizbeach, maybe the Kohen is walking on top of the Mizbeach and his beged, his clothing, rubs against it. Umini Yesod, or it splashes back from the base of the Mizbeach, eino taun kibus. It does not need to be laundered in the temple. And the reason here is the blood has already been applied to the Mizbeach. So once the blood of the Hatat has been applied in the proper place, so the leftover blood is not fit to be applied, that mitzvah is already done, so the blood that they're pouring onto the yesod, if it splashes, it does not require kibbus. Now the Mishnah adds a case where we don't need kibbus, even though zrika has not happened yet, nishbach olaritzba, blood spilled out from the animal onto the floor, ve'asafo, and they used the kli, the sacred vessel, to gather up, the scoop up this blood, eino taun kibbus, that does not need to be laundered. And the Mishnah explains, ein taun kibbus, it does not require washing, ela only hadam shenitkabel bekli, dam that was received in the sacred vessel, va'uil hazah, and it's appropriate to use it to sprinkle on the Mizbeach. So this blood that spilled on the floor, we don't use to sprinkle on the Mizbeach. So really, we're going to see it's only blood that you could use to do the mitzvah of blood applications for the Chatat that creates this problem where it does need to be washed if that blood ends up on a garment. Now, the verse that we read yesterday in Vayikra chapter 6, verse 20, mentioned beged, a garment. So the Mishnah explains, nitazala or. What if blood got splashed onto the hide of an animal? There's all sorts of animal hides there. So let's see. Od shelo hufshat. If the hide is still attached to the animal, eino taun kibus. It does not need to be laundered. It's still part of the animal. Misha hufshat. But after the hide was removed from the animal, taun kibus. It would require laundering and to wash out the bloodstains. Divri Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, lehalacha, he holds that a hide of an animal is close enough to a beged, close enough to an article of clothing, because, it's usable even though it's a hide, it hasn't been processed into clothing, but it's usable as is now, as a rug or a covering or something like this for the couch. So it's close enough to a beged, it would need to be laundered. But Rabbi Eliezer Omer, he disagrees, says, af mishuvshat, even after it's been skinned off the animal, eino taun kibus, it does not require laundering because it has not been processed yet into something like a beged, a usable item. Now, even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that if the Kohen wanted to use it as is, as, a covering for his chair, and he wasn't going to process it further, it would already be akin to a beged, a usable garment. But if, Mistama, if he hadn't expressed an intention to do so, we assume the Kohanim would process it further into, leather belts and clothing and jackets and the like, and it would not yet be a beged and not require laundering. The Mishnah adds, eino taun kibus, it does not require laundering out the bloodstains, ela makom hadam, only where those bloodstains actually fell onto the garments. V'davar shu ru'i l'kabel tuma, and it has to be a garment or a kli that can accept ritual impurity. V'ro'i l'kibus, and something that is actually launderable, like a beged. So it falls onto a piece of wood or, a belt buckle that's a hard material, a very hard leather that you can't really bend it and flex it, and it doesn't really absorb any liquid. It's not really kibusable. Kibus is like doing laundry. It involves a liquid and some soap and things like this. So only materials that are akin to that are worthy of being laundered. On to Mishnah Dalit. Echad ha-beged, whether it's clothing, echad ha-sock, or it's sackcloth, which is a rougher cloth made of goat hair, echad ha-or, or it's a garment made of leather, as long as it's soft leather that can be washed, ta'unin kibus, requires laundering out the bloodstains of the chatat, as long as the blood was suitable to go on the altar, b'makam kadosh, within the temple. So that we know so far. Now the Mishnah adds Ushvirat Kli Cheris, and breaking of an earthenware utensil that absorbed the flavors of the Chatat B'Makam Kadosh must be done within the temple. So if you used, the Kohanim used a pot to cook up or a frying pan to fry up their Chatat meat to eat it, that needs to be broken if it's a Kli Cheris within the temple. Now what's going on here is the reason it must be broken is because it absorbs the flavors of the Chatat, and those become notar, those become left over after the time limit to eat it. And this is actually a biblical requirement. This is the verse right after the one about the kibbutz, about the laundry. So this is Vayikra chapter 6, verse 21. Uchli cheris, an earthenware utensil, a clay pot, a sher tivushal bo, that the chatat is cooked within it, yeshaver, must be broken, you know, after the time limit to eat it. Vim chli nechoshet, if it's a copper vessel, a metal kli, busholo, it was cooked in there, umarak shutaf b'mayim, it needs to be purged out, really rinsed out, like what we call hagola in modern times, boiling water within it, and rinsed out with water. And for a metal kli, that would remove the absorbed tastes in the walls of the pot or the pan. But for an earthenware kli, you understand that clay and earthenware is much more absorbent, and those tastes will never come out through scrubbing and rinsing and hagala and boiling, so that kli has to be broken. As the Mishnah adds here, marika shtifa, it needs to be purged out, like hagala, like boiled, and rinsed out, b'kli nechoshet, with a copper or metal kli, b'makam kodesh, within the temple. And if you're familiar with the archaeology that they've found in modern Israel, they found the place where the Mishkan, the tabernacle, was in Shiloh. The Mishkan Shiloh, they found it. The reason that they found that the archaeologists say they've identified specifically the place where the Mishkan was is because in all of the hillsides that face this place where the Mishkan, they think, was, there are broken earthenware kelim. But on the other side of the hill, where you couldn't see that place, there were no broken earthenware kelim. So what was going on is people were cooking up their offerings, their chataut and other offerings, and then breaking those earthenware kelim in the Makam Kodesh, which for the Mishkan was as long as you could see the Mishkan in that area. Of course, with the temple, it would be within the temple complex. So if you do some digging around the area where they say Mishkan Shiloh was, you might find broken earthenware kelim that may have been used 3,000 years ago to cook korbanot and chataot within them. Finally, the Mishnah concludes, Zeh chomer b'chatat, this is astringency by the chatat, mekodshei kodoshim, from other holy of holies. Now there's actually a debate. The Bartonura here says the stringency we're talking about is the kibbutz, is the laundering, that the laundering must take place within the Mishkan or the temple area for blood stains. The Kahati and the Rambam seem to hold that the stringency we're talking about is not just the laundering, but also the breaking of the earthenware kelim and the kashering, the cleaning up of the metal kelim, that they would say that was only for chataut, but the Bartonura would say that really kelim, vessels, pots and pans that were used with any offerings had to undergo this process of breaking by earthenware or kashering by metal kelim within the holy area. Yashar kochachem and tizku l'mitzvot.